Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time with this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. E right didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Mid-afternoon game. You wouldn't have to deal with it all night because the Astros continue what is now an 8-game losing streak by getting swept for the second consecutive series, this time by the Seattle Mariners. Josh Naylor hit his first couple home runs, so that's cool. Just getting people off the mark. They talked about it as I was watching the game from the Mariners side, how he had struggled, and it was really good for Josh Naylor to hit that first home run. Then he hit another one. So Mike Burrows doing everyone a favor, doing at least Josh Naylor a favor. The Astros go down. Our friend KJ tweeted us yesterday that the Astros had walked 26 Mariners in 3 games. Turns out that was a record for the Astros for three games, walking 26 batters. So continuing to be prolific in their record setting for ineptitude. We know, well, if you don't know, I'll tell you, after yesterday's game, they still lead the league in runs scored, although they only scored 2 yesterday. They still lead the league in runs given up thanks to their performance yesterday. And considering what the pitching has been, like, you could actually applaud Mike Burrows for at least going deeper into the game than we've seen from a start. He didn't pitch well. I mean, he didn't get help from himself. I mean, when he didn't cover first base, you know, as I mentioned, he gave up 2 home runs to Burrows. But all in all, just an overall miserable experience. But as I said, it didn't stretch into your night. You could do other things, and with no rockets on, you could focus on other things that maybe you had to neglect because you're always locked in on Astros baseball.
Yeah, it was over by like 5:30.
Yeah,
people weren't home from
work.
Yeah,
maybe you're keeping track on your phone and watching things go poorly, and then by the time you got home after rush hour, you're like, you know what? That sucked.
New
the
Euphoria
traffic
dropped.
And the game. Yeah. Maybe I'll watch Euphoria. Maybe I want to watch the episode of DTF St. Louis I didn't see. Whatever it is, you had the opportunity.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to dwell on what has become a miserable couple weeks for the Astros. And it gets worse. Jeremy Peña on the IL. Tatsuya Amai, who we expected goes on the IL. But he has arm fatigue as opposed to inability to traverse, you know, mounds in Seattle. I mean, at least it's arm fatigue. They told us it was arm fatigue. It is arm fatigue. He'll be down for a bit. He joins Hunter Brown. He joins Christian Javier. 3/5 of your rotation done for, and the other 2/5, you can't really expect them to put on great performances or even good ones. So you're pretty much out of luck as far as your pitching is concerned, and you're hoping they're going to scratch and claw and try to pull guys up from Sugarland when they can and find a way to get through a patch that we're calling a patch because we want to be positive. This could just be the season. I mean, we want to call it a patch because we have to hope because it's a little early. Sean, in fact, we got to a point on the morning show. I put it on your page. There's a new thing we may need to play as far as this Astros season, and it's in regards to trading guys to get value for them. It's like a discussion about the end of the dynasty, and I think it is a perfect sounder that anytime we get to a level when we're not talking about the micro anymore, we're talking about the macro of this Astros team. It's on there. Let me see if you can guess what it is.
You got to know when to hold up.
I think we got to have these conversations from time to time this year.
Know when to run.
Like, the motto is chase the fight. That's chase. That is what they have sold us.
Chase the fight.
But honestly,
the Inception horn sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But and that voiceover, who the hell is that, by the way?
That's the same guy from last year, right?
Okay, but
we are built for this.
They got to work on this. It's not great. It's not great. Forget about the team performance not matching up, but that's
where
not,
it starts.
That,
it trickles down.
Yeah, it's like they say, look good to play. You got to look good to play good.
Yeah,
you
hashtag.
Hashtag sound good to play good. Whatever it is, that doesn't sound great. Kenny Rogers can't be questioned as far as at least this one song. You got hot. Maybe you don't like Kenny Rogers, but at least for this one, I can't question the gambler here.
No.
There comes a point where maybe this season reaches it earlier than we'd like, where we just walk away from the table. We stop talking about this team daily or in a way that suggests they have a real shot to win anything, because the numbers historically suggest they're already out of the race. Like, if you talk about what they've done so far, the ineptitude, no team at that point in the season had done what they've done as far as walks and runs given up and all that stuff and did anything of note the rest of the way. That's where we are. So we may be playing. I think Foldum takes the place of Chase the Fight as far as this show is concerned. I don't think like Chase the Fight could be played in a funny, we're making fun of it way. But as far as that slogan meaning anything this year, I think we got a new one.
Foldum?
Yeah, Foldum. Hashtag Foldum.
And instead of the Astros account tweeting out, like, Yordan Alvarez hit a home run, hashtag chase the fight, it's Mike Burrows.
Yeah.
Pulled after six earned runs, hashtag Foldum.
Anytime another guy goes in the IL,
hashtag Foldum.
Anytime there's a crooked number for the other team, we go hashtag Foldum.
Yeah, JP France hits a walk-off single Saturday night. Hashtag
he gives up. Yeah, if he gives up one of those, hashtag Foldum. I don't know if I'm going to be able to maintain that bit for the rest of the year, but I do think I will.
Yeah.
I will reference hashtag Foldum when we come back after losses, particularly if there's an infamous or memorable moment that goes against the Astros. So, look,
they did start 6-2.
Sure. So it's even, and then you look at it.
6-11.
Yeah, it's even. Is it 9 in a row or is it 8 in a row?
9 in a row, right?
I thought it was 8. Maybe it is.
It might
9.
Be 8.
Either way, it's awful. It's awful. I thought.
Yeah, it's 8 in a row.
Oh, it's 8 in a row. So they started off 6-3, and now they've lost 8 in a row. The worst team in baseball. They have the worst record in baseball. That's where we stand.
Is there a generational prospect that? Can we
if you want to call Cam Smith generation? Oh, you mean as far as drafting?
In the draft. Is there an Arch Manning that we can?
But while we go on, while we're doing this logistically, because there's someone who tries to keep calling in to the intern out there, the phone out there, no one can hear us. That person answering the phone, it has to be by the producer in the control room. So going forward, if you can hear me out there, intern, don't answer the phone anymore because that phone doesn't work.
Okay.
That's just, and if you call in and you hear a pickup but no one's talking to you, it's because someone grabbed the wrong phone. So we're going to try to work around that going forward. So try to get back in if you're listening. Sean will get the phone because as it stands now, the phone that's most convenient doesn't work. Sounds familiar as far as things that happen around here sometimes.
It's on the IL.
it's part of our IP. Like there's Marvel IP, there's DC IP. Our IP is malfunctions, and the phone is right there with it. All right, we'll go to break. Philip, I see you. You called in very early. In fact, you called into the last show. We'll get to you, say your first-time caller. You want to talk some Rockets. We'll get to you when we come back. We'll get to anyone else who wants to get in as quickly as we can. Sean, we'll have to take on that responsibility going forward until we get that phone fixed. If you want to join the couple callers who are on right now, the number is 713-780-3776. We're getting started. It's Fold'em season, it feels like, when it comes to the Astros. We'll see if they can get out of it now that they come back home. We'll get to callers and some other stuff when we get back. Oh, do I have something here?
Aqueduct.
Okay, Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You know, if you got a problem like the Astros, they can't fix their problems. But if you have a plumbing one, Billy Brown's the one for you. So go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com for any plumbing problem you have. And they go beyond just simple plumbing issues. They do the big jobs, too. So if you got a repiping that you need done for your entire home, they'll do that for you. They've done over 1,000 repipes. In fact, they're the premier repiping company in Houston. You can also get a free price quote for them because there's plenty of bad things when it comes to home repairs, but you never want to get charged for something when you don't know what the problem is. You don't want to get charged for an assessment. Aqueduct Plumbing Company doesn't do that. So if you sense there's a problem but don't know what it is, they'll take a look. They'll give you a free price quote, and then you'll know how to handle it. So from repipes to leak detection to gas piping, new construction is all there for you under their handy drop-down services menu. You can see all they have to offer. And, of course, the website is aqueductplumbingcompany.com. You can also call them at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238 to get a hold of the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to a couple callers. We'll get to Philip first because he called in very early, even before the show began. He wants to talk, I believe, some Rockets, first-time caller. What's up, Philip?
Hi, Dill. Hey, I'm a huge fan of you guys. How are you doing? You hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Of course. Huge fan of you guys. First-time caller. My question or what I thought about how y'all guys think. I think the Rockets actually prefer the fifth seed. I know everybody's wanting to play either the Lakers or the Rockets. I know. And do you believe that Fred VanVleet might join the Rockets in the playoffs?
Well, the Rockets 4 or 5 was kind of where they're slated, but yeah, I think they got the most favorable matchup they could have hoped for once the playoffs seeding was finalized. They got the Lakers, who are severely shorthanded because of the absences of Luka and Austin Reeves because of injury. As far as Fred VanVleet, I think that's a dream that they kept alive for whatever reason, but it's dead. He's not playing this year. I mean, maybe we hear some mystical thing, like if they make a finals run, that Fred is weeks away. But the thing is, Fred VanVleet has not, from what we can tell, has not participated in any contact drills, any practice with the Rockets all year because of his recovery from the ACL. So it was a thing they kept alive, but never seemed like a real chance of ever happening. So I think we will see Fred next year. The question will be what this team will look like when he's finally back and ready to play. There has been a lot of Rockets conversation from outside of Houston about what a series win or loss would mean. We kind of forecasted this yesterday, that because of how shorthanded the Lakers are, that this is win or now legacies are tarnished type conversations about Kevin Durant. That happened. Perk was on one of those. We had Chris Broussard and Colin Cowherd discuss how Kevin Durant's year with the Rockets is a disappointment compared to last year because they're talking about the seeding and they use like disaster or some word that's similar. That felt strong. But these are the conversations, not not they're not about, hey, this team hasn't won a playoff series since the bubble. This franchise, I mean, wouldn't this be a big accomplishment? It's, well, they better win, and then they're going to get crushed by OKC. Well, that second part is understandable, but before the playoffs begin, the Rockets are already having to not justify their season, because this series win wouldn't even do that. It's, hey, what are you capable of against the defending champions? Because if you go out meekly there, then it is being positioned as this season is a disaster, which is a tough spot to be in when you have a lot of young guys who have never done what they're being asked to do. Now, the expectations here are they're going to win this series. But it is still, hey, show me that you can go win a playoff series. They're just expected to, and if they don't, it'll be a lot of conversations about how this was a lost year.
Yeah, and I think it's because of who they're playing. Like, that's what makes the, like, no excuses, you have to get out of the first round, like, even more, I don't know, crystallized. Like, if it was a fully healthy Lakers team,
the Rockets wouldn't even be the favorite.
Yeah, they wouldn't be the favorite, and it would be more of like a, well, let's see if they can do it, but, yeah, you know, it'll be, you know, things might get uncomfortable if they don't win, because then it becomes like 2 years of losing the first round, like, kind of the murmurs of like...
And I certainly think Kevin Durant would catch it quite a bit in a different way, but he would still be he would take the brunt of the criticism because of the narrative. And it was right, and rightfully so, that they traded away multiple pieces because you were supposed to be a missing piece that put them in a spot where they could contend. If you want to harp on they're not contenders, fine, because normally five seeds don't win NBA titles, particularly when you have the Spurs and the Nuggets and the Thunder ahead of you. So if you want to harp on the Rockets for that and maybe throw a lot of it on Kevin Durant, okay, that's the price of being a superstar. But I don't know if his legacy would actually be affected if they lost the series. It'd be one series in one season in Houston. Meanwhile, he's got multiple finals MVPs.
Like, is Steph Curry's legacy on the line in the play-in game?
No.
It's
not.
Like, no, these guys, like, it's something where, you know, we're so used to focusing on LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and the, you know, where are they in the hierarchy stuff. And it's like, at this point, like, I don't know, the book's mostly written at this point. Like,
we shouldn't be.
They could all retire tomorrow, and it would be fine.
We shouldn't be talking about a 37-year-old and what a first round series loss would mean for his career.
Yeah, especially a first round series. Like, if you want to go like the John Elway, like, you know, where it's,
yeah, who goes on to win a Super Bowl, changes.
Sure, if Kevin Durant carries this team to a championship, like,
yeah, that's a different type of. We're talking Dirk like stuff.
Yeah, I don't think you can lose. Hey, how about this? I don't think you can lose legacy points after your 36th birthday.
No, you can't commend him for doing what he's done at 37 and then destroy his legacy because he lost a first-round series at 37 years old. To a surely depleted Lakers team, understood.
Yeah.
And thank you for the call, Philip. Call in anytime. We appreciate it. We talked about it, how I didn't want to hear, like, if the Lakers win one of the first couple games, that Luka could be on the horizon in game 6 or 7. Well, that isn't a firm thing, but Shams did report that Luka, in fact, let's play it, because it isn't suggesting that Luka is right around the corner from playing, but he's back from Spain, and they continue to work on him to see if he can get back. Here is Shams, the latest update on Luka.
And DG, all eyes, of course, will be on the health of Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves. I'm told that Luka Doncic is traveling back to the United States from Spain later this week and rejoining the Lakers on Friday. But over the last week in Spain, the majority of that time, he's been getting treatment on that hamstring. He's had multiple injections as well to see, can he promote healing? Can he quicken the timeline of his return? It is a grade 2 hamstring strain. And on the other side, Austin Reeves, grade 2 oblique strain. Initially, in early April, his timeline was 4 to 6 weeks. That would put him out at minimum the first week of May. And so both of these guys going into the playoffs, there's an expectation that they will be sidelined for an indefinite period of time. Just how soon? They're both obviously trying to get back ASAP.
So you hear the grade 2, which amounts to a partial tear in his hamstring, which certainly is severe. A grade 3 means a complete tear through the hamstring. So he is at a point where that promote healing thing means they need to repair a tear in his hamstring. Do I think that's going to happen by the time if we get to a game six or game seven, it feels unlikely. But I don't know what they're doing in Spain. I don't know what they're shooting into his hamstring in Spain. Who knows if it's a super serum?
Yeah.
Who knows? Now you had to have gone through a certain organization back then to get it. I'm not sure. In Europe, at least, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that organization is handing it out to basketball players.
They had their own brew.
Yeah.
In a fictional universe.
In a fictional universe.
It's almost to the point where, like, even if Luka Doncic does come back, I kind of feel like he would be just so bad at defense that
he won't
even
try.
It might actually. Never mind. He'll be limited on offense, like limited at the part that, you know, is the reason for Luka Doncic being an NBA player. It's like, no, the defense, you would just immediately give it back. And in the playoffs, you see it you see it more than the regular season. They ratchet up where it's like, if you have a bad defender,
they will get attacked
every single time they're on the court.
Yes. And now you've got, he's tried over the last 2 months as the MVP case started to pick up, but he's not great.
There's just limits.
There's limits to what he's capable of, and then you throw a grade two hamstring tear, no matter how much he's recovered in the span of a couple weeks, and you're not gonna get the best out of him. Pena, let's get to you, and then we'll go to break. Thanks for the call, Philip. What's up, Pena?
Yo, what up, Dem? So my call is definitely not going to be as serious as Philip's, but So I saw a comment yesterday on GPA Football on Instagram, and former first-round pick Jamarcus Russell, apparently he's getting tired of being called a bust. So he made the comment of, if you come up to my face and call me a bust, I'm a bust one in your mouth. I don't know what he meant by that. Can you explain what he meant by busting in people's mouth? Thank you. Have a great day.
I think you're calling in because you know. You ain't gonna try to trick me. Now, sometimes when you say I'm gonna bust you in your mouth, that means I'm gonna punch you. But there's the other one that you are suggesting, I believe, that I'm not gonna delve into. I didn't hear it. That account sounds like a parody account, honestly. There are plenty of them on Instagram. I don't know what Jamarcus Russell is saying. Look, it's been, what are we talking about now? He hadn't played a football game. He was drafted in 07. We're talking about 20 years since he was – nearly 20 years since he was drafted, and he hadn't played a football game since 09. I would think at this point, no one needs to go up to Jamarcus Russell and tell him he's a bust. Like of the people who are of an age, who would want to play that game, I'm assuming Gen Zers and maybe young millennials, do they even know who Jamarcus Russell is? Like, of the people – the people who are of the era, if they want to film themselves and go yell at a celebrity and see what happens, do they know who he is?
I think that you know him as, like, number one pick Oakland Raiders.
From 07? You think they would still know?
Yeah, like the way that, like, Sam Bowie. Like,
someone has to point out. No.
Like, someone, he is in that, like, tier of, like...
Would they recognize him?
No, they wouldn't recognize him.
He would have to say, I'm Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, no, I think they know who, yeah, like, the name Jamarcus Russell, like Anthony Bennett, and, like,
sure.
Where it's just, like...
But Jamarcus Russell was walking his version of...
Wow, big guy.
Of H-E-B. Yeah, that's a big dude.
Wow,
he's
huge.
From Alabama. I don't know if he resides there now. But so they would know him. But if he was walking around Seattle for whatever reason...
Yeah,
I don't know that he's so recognizable that that's happening. I don't even know if Pena's premise is real.
Oh, I mean, I
because I would have to see if he actually said that.
Yeah, he did. He's on a podcast.
Oh, he says it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm mad as bleep. Don't call me no bus. Period. I'm gonna show you a bus. Period. I'm a bus in your mouth.
Okay, then
Jamarcus Russell.
Quoting
Game Blazers. It looks like the.
Okay, so he said it. You know what it means, Pena.
The right credit.
He didn't say, I'm going to bust you in your mouth. He said, I'm going to bust. Yeah.
He says, I'm going to bust you in your mouth.
Yeah. Okay. We all know what that means. I don't know why. It's a thing with guys, honestly. Like, I'm gonna do something to you to humiliate you. But it's, you know, it falls in line with, I guess you want to call some gay overtones. I'm not sure why that's the thing we default to. I'm not weak because I don't. But there are men who do that. Like, oh, yeah. You think so? Well, I'm gonna do this. I was like,
because if you just take out the word "in,"
Like it's fine. I'm going to punch you in the mouth.
And guess what? Jamarcus Russell's 6 foot six.
And if you talk to him in a certain way, he could punch you in the face. Yeah. And it's going to be a problem for you. But then he took it to another level.
Didn't have to make
He's not unique in that regard. There's always like, oh, yeah, well, I'll do this to you. Wait a minute. Aren't you a straight man? Why would you want to do that to me?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? I mean, if you're
gonna what?
Like if I called you gay, you would be upset with that. Even though, I mean, you shouldn't be, but you would be.
Yeah.
Why are you using that as a threat? I've never understood that. It's just a thing some guys do. Either way,
I'm glad Jamarcus Russell's still in the news.
Yeah, well, who wants a podcast with Jamarcus Russell? What do you think? I guess you got what you got out of it, but
yeah.
I wouldn't think that was somebody you would go to. But hey, I don't know the connections with this podcast.
Yeah, maybe it's an LSU podcast. I don't. I'm just guessing.
His full quote is: "A lot of times they don't know how to speak to you. They can't say what's up, man, and just be cool. Don't come up to me saying, oh, the biggest bust, Jamarcus Russell. Yeah, as you said, you read all the other stuff.
Why would anyone ever be like, here he is. The biggest bust in NFL history, Jamarcus Russell. Nice to meet you, man.
It's an odd thing. Like, but it is, hey, I'm going to film myself, try to get a reaction, yeah. So I'm going to sucker him in by being polite, and then I'm going to go, hey, man, how's it feel to be? So on and so forth.
It's a lot of selfie video, me with Jamarcus Russell. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. And then you have to watch Jamarcus Russell either handle it in a way that doesn't get him in trouble.
Yeah, or he busts in his mouth.
Or he does that, which is aggressive.
As he says, he busting your mouth.
I mean, he's big enough to, let's leave it alone. All right, we'll go to break. I was going to say, it's not like you could fight him off. I mean, he's a big man.
He looks like he lost a little bit of
weight. No, he's still going to be a giant. Yeah, I know what you're saying. He's just going to be a giant individual.
He looks in good shape.
Yeah, at 6'6", let's say 6'6", 230.
Yeah, probably not good that he looks like he's in better shape
now than
20 years after he got
drafted.
It's
tough. Like you take care, you're trying to take care of yourself as you get older.
Yeah,
but
you got maybe maturity. Well,
did that sound very mature?
Didn't get that much more mature.
I mean, he's still threatening people, or at least he's now threatening people. All right, we'll go to break. Thanks for the call, Pena, I think.
Thank you, Philip, again.
Yeah, Philip, I appreciate.
We'll just give Philip another
thank you. Pena, I'm like, all right, it does fit the show, but still. It's aggressive.
It's tougher to get to that before 10:30. I will say that.
Yes. It's
not how we drive.
It's not what I'm looking for. Maybe the last thing we get to before we toss it to Rich Eisen. Here, Rich, handle that. Go ahead. When we come back, we'll talk more Rockets. We'll hear from Nick Caserio as well. But as I said, national media is getting after the Rockets before the series even begins. So we'll get to some of that sound when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So it seems like everything is in the Rockets' favor. You have the health advantage. You're more talented than the Lakers. The only thing that isn't on their side is home court because, well, the Lakers, despite the injuries, wound up finishing the season winning their last three. And so they have home court, and the Rockets dropped the game to Minnesota. That didn't matter because the Lakers won out. The latest from Brian Windhorst says Austin Reeves' return could be sooner rather than later, whatever that might actually mean. And they are and potential. I don't know when this is written. Potential Lakers playoff opponents. We already know who the playoff opponent is. They're preparing for the Lakers to play with him at some point. Let me rephrase it. It was at the time potential Lakers playoff opponents believe Austin Reeves could come back sooner rather than later. And they are preparing for the Lakers to have him at some point in the first round. So this had to have been written before the playoffs were finalized.
Last week, yeah.
But we'll see. We just heard from Shams on this, where those guys' returns or their absences are indefinite. There's no real timetable there. But I wouldn't say I was worried about this, but I am not surprised whether just because it's needed for clicks or for storylines that we are starting to hear the bubbling of, hey, let it go. Let it get to maybe a game 5 or 6, yeah. And these guys could be ready for the Lakers to use to help come back and beat the Rockets.
So I wonder if two things are happening, or one of two things, or maybe both. One, what you're saying right here, where, you know, from a national media perspective, like, you have a Lakers series that if Luka and Reeves don't come back is, like, almost entirely uninteresting, even with the legacy stuff of, like they have to kind of resort to that, you know? It's not, like, actually rooted in anything, where floating out, hey, this terrible series might not be that terrible after all. I'll pick up this phone, actually. I'll make my point later.
Okay. So from the Rockets to other teams, there is a thought that Austin Reeves could be back by the first round's end, and then, of course, be ready for a second round if the Lakers advance. So these stories will likely be part of the conversation in the lead-up to Game 1, and then as the series goes on, We'll hear more and more about these Laker players who we thought wouldn't be involved in the first round potentially getting back in time.
I also wonder if there's a little bit of J.J. Redick, you know, mind games of like, hey, you know, gotta kind of prepare for if Reeves and Luka come back. But I kind of think that, I mean, both their injuries are like typically like 4 to 6 week long injuries, and they got hurt 2 weeks ago, and the series are going to take 2 weeks max. So it's like really cutting it close and really being almost ahead of schedule to even get them out on the court. And even still, like, both these injuries are like not easy ones to play through. It's like an oblique strain for Austin Reeves.
So,
like,
we're talking about from injury three weeks after the injury for when the series begins.
Yes.
So 2 weeks, as you said, unless we don't know the full schedule yet, but is this a, we don't know how many days off in between, but yeah, to your point, even if it is a long series, it's no longer than 2 weeks. So they would be coming back early at worst projection, and then a week after best projection.
Yeah. And it's like already like
it's the end of the series.
Four?
Maybe you're talking six or seven, depending on how it's all laid out as far as NBA scheduling. So we'll see if that means anything. As far as the national media and talks about the Rockets, most of the discussions have been about Kevin Durant and also Ime Udoka. Now, the person you're going to hear, you could say, could be a bit biased. He was is a fan of a team that Ime Udoka coached for one season before the scandal involving, I guess, the wife. Or no, this woman was inside the organization. He had an alleged affair with someone inside the organization, which led to Ime Udoka losing his job with the Celtics. He is here, and Bill Simmons is a fan of these Celtics, and he doesn't believe Ime survives this offseason with the Rockets.
For the hot seat coach category, Ime Udoka. I have not been impressed by the coaching of this team this year. The chemistry doesn't seem great. I think the offense
has
just been bizarre. I don't understand why Ime hasn't just said, I have to sink or swim with Reed Shepard because I don't have Fred VanVleet, and it's going to be impossible to win even two straight rounds without a real point guard. And he's just doing it his way. They put a staggering amount of miles and minutes on Amen Thompson, who led the league in minutes this year, and Kevin Durant, who's 37 years old, who I think was like seventh in minutes.
They were 1-2 the last time I checked.
Oh, Jesus. Hard minutes.
Total minutes.
Right. It's not like Kevin Durant's running to the corner and just setting up shop, watching other people run the play. He's dribbling the ball up against people like Jaden McDaniels and shit like that. I don't understand half the shit this team has done all season.
Did not catch that the first time because John had me grab the sound and we didn't actually play it. So yeah, his prevailing thought is Ime hasn't been the one to get the most out of this team. Now, he talks about bad vibes. That's one of the things he leans into. They have won 9 out of 10. They've, in games they have tried in, they're 8 out of 9. So so. I don't know if he's seen them over the last couple weeks, but they've played better basketball. They've won games. You know, the opposition hasn't been great, but still, this team has played better going into the playoffs. So the Chris Broussard, Colin Cowherd things more of the same, but that was more about Kevin Durant and calling this season a bit of a disaster because they are not better than the 5 seed, despite their record being the exact same as last year. So you add a superstar like Kevin Durant, you get less than, I would say, you get broad strokes opinions on how the season should go. I mean, I have pushed back at least a little bit on how important a Fred VanVleet is, and less so pushing back on the Steven Adams portion, because we've seen what happened before they adjusted recently to their offense without Steven Adams, but in the rebounding without Steven Adams. So you get the broad opinions that, hey, you were the 5 now. You're the 5 now. You're the 2 last year. This season had to have sucked, and they still won 50-plus games, and they were within – a game of being a 3 seed.
That's like what's so crazy to me is that, like, they just look at the seeding and not like the win number. Like, the win number is the exact same. And it's like, yeah, and they, I mean, lost either you can view it as they lost their point guard after they made the trade, the only point guard on the roster besides Reed Shepard, or it's like, and in theory, or in, you know, basically what they did from last year's team was take 3 starters off, the 2 guys in the trade, and Fred VanVleet from injury, and added Kevin Durant, and then halfway through the season lost, like, their 6th starter, essentially, and Steven Adams. And, like, it's still just like, should Ime Udoka get fired? It's like, I get the having some questions and, like, it's been unsatisfying at times, the offense especially, but it's like, he's not getting fired. Like,
it's the Kevin Durant of it, because if you're the head coach of a team driven by 20, like, young 20 somethings, not even mid 20 year olds, we're talking about, guys early 21, 20. 22, 23, early 20s, and you're winning 50 games for the second consecutive year, the conversations would be considered asinine. But when you add Kevin Durant, and yes, looking at them on a game to game basis, we can see the flaws. We can see how they don't handle fourth quarters well. But that might just be the curse of a young team. But then you top that off with having one of the best players to ever play the game on your team still playing at a high level, and those problems still exist. It falls, at least from the national perspective, on a head coach when, yes, Ime could be better. There are things we wish he did better, particularly as far as the offense is concerned, and maybe some of the rotation stuff could. But he is a bit hampered with not having a true point guard. There's nothing you're going to do about that. That's not on him. If you want to blame Rafael Stone for that, maybe you're more than welcome to. Maybe you're in your rights. But I wouldn't throw that on Ime. If he has seen that Reed Shepard, despite how many minutes he's played, isn't ready for the role of, hey, we're just going to give you the ball and you can be a point guard when we're not allowing Kevin Durant to initiate offense.
So, Anthony Edwards is, what, a top 5, top 8 player in the league? Let's say 8, just to be safe. Okay. He's in there, but he's probably closer to 5. The Minnesota Timberwolves won 49 games. What's wrong with Chris Finch? This team made the West Finals last year.
Yeah.
like you could. It's a veteran-laden team, a superstar entering his prime.
He's, yeah, I don't hear the Chris Finch conversation.
Like,
and it's not to say Chris Finch did a bad job, because I'm not watching the Wolves on a night-to-night basis. I mean, if we're talking about it in that way, you have an established superstar. You have a perennial DPOY guy. Yeah, Julius Randle, who's found himself in Minnesota.
Low-level all-star.
Yeah. And
Jay McDaniels, like, for stretches, plays at an all-star level.
Yeah. They won 3 less games than the Rockets. And yet...
And the Rockets didn't have their point guard the entire season. Like, there is an element you could go, like, wait, this team is supposed to be in their prime. Like, this is probably one they're just with the ages of Randall and Gobert. Like, this might be the last, like, full, you know, real competitive push for at least this group of Minnesota Timberwolves. And they're the 6 seed, won 3 less games than a team full of 21-year-olds, a 37-year-old, and a coach that might get fired, according to Bill Simmons.
And the thing is, despite all that, who would we take in a series?
Oh, Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah. All that being said, we'd still take the Wolves in a series until the Rockets prove as such that they're capable of being
they,
a team
they
like
made
the Wolves.
The West Finals. Now they're 6th seed. What happened?
Yeah, exactly. The Wolves have proven, at least in the playoffs, that they are proven performers.
Also, tangential to this, why doesn't the regular season matter? Because of this right there.
For this stuff.
Yeah. They won 3 more games. They have higher expectations. Won three less games than the Rockets did. But if they played in a series, oh, God.
Well, we see. Yeah,
take Minnesota. Like,
the problem for the Rockets are, and now it popped up for Minnesota in the game against the Rockets where they couldn't handle the ball late. The Rockets' problems are ones that feel like they get exacerbated in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Where you can't run efficient offense, at least they hadn't been able to up until the more recent run, without getting offensive rebounds. You don't have real trusted ball handlers late. We saw it against Minnesota 2 games ago where they couldn't handle pressure. And even with the big comeback they made to take the lead, you also saw the flaws in the Rockets when they gave up a big lead in overtime. So their ceiling is one of the higher in the leagues. I don't know if at their best they could beat the Spurs at their best. In fact, I think I do know that they couldn't. But in a series, if they play their best,
they could push.
They could give the Spurs. They could give the Spurs a series and maybe win it. But the unfortunate thing, we've seen the floor, and the floor can pop up at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
So they can't be trusted until they prove otherwise.
Yeah, the Rockets seem like a team where it's like this is kind of like in the regular season. This is them like operating at basically the max of what they can do. Where Minnesota just feels like, and it's backed up with the last 2 years, making the Western Conference Finals. They feel like playoff risers just as a team.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, mostly
Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards. Yeah. But because Julius Randle until last year was like one of the worst playoff players of all time. But he puts on that Minnesota Timberwolves uniform, plays next to Anthony Edwards, and he's good. And Gobert is another guy. How many series did Utah lose? Because it's like you can just circle Rudy Gobert. That's the problem right there. And they're just a team of like, oh, this team in the playoffs is a tougher out than we give them credit for. I think now we're just finally like building that into at the start of the playoffs when we look at this team.
And those playoffs begin on Saturday. But that's just how the conversation will be about this team nationally.
Yeah.
Not a lot of respect given for a series win, but you better win it or they will be destroyed, particularly Kevin Durant and Ime Udoka.
I kind of think that's fair.
And depending on how the series, like if Kevin Durant goes for.
If they lose the series, like what are we doing?
It all depends on how the series plays out. If Kevin Durant's averaging 33-8, then I'm not going to put anything on him. Yeah. It just will. The results and the games and the performances will determine how these conversations go. I just know nationally the conversations have already been written. And they're just waiting.
Yeah, it's like
no matter how it goes.
It's like when news publications have like pre-written obituaries.
Yeah, they already have the Rockets autopsy set up and ready to go, even though they haven't cut the body open yet.
Yeah, this is like the 20 years of LeBron, almost 20 years of Kevin Durant. Like we know how to talk about these guys. Yeah. We got that locked and loaded.
No matter what happens in the series, Eric, we'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to get in? As we start the second hour, you can, 713-780-3776. But before we go to break, I want to remind you about the Occasional Invitational. The Occasional Invitational is, April 29th at the Sterling Country Club. Go to ESPN975.com right now to register for the tournament. And what you have in store for you once you do, first of all, get your four-person team together, and then you get that great day of golf. Lunch will be provided by Brown Bag Deli, and dinner is from Valencia's. And, of course, beer will be from Coors Light, so John's happy about that. Sign up now for the ESPN 975 Occasional Invitational at ESPN975.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.